FM. Keith Murphy.
If you ain't first, you're last.
Andy Fail.
Stop pitying the fool.
It's the Murph and Andy Show, powered by AD.
You can do it!
On 1460 KXNO, and now on 106.3 FM.
Good afternoon. My name's Emery Songer. I'm not Murph. I'm not Andy. Hopefully, I'm just Emery today. I'm being joined by Andrew Downs, AD. He powers the show, is my understanding.
What is up?
Thanks for inviting me to do this.
Thank you for coming in. I appreciate it.
It's always fun to sit here for 2 hours from 2 to 4 in the seat of legends, Keith and Andy. So my understanding is Keith will be back tomorrow. So
he will, yes. Yeah. It's kind of a weird week. In a normal year, which this certainly isn't.
Yeah.
This is the week that Keith and Andy kind of both take vacation. It should be the end of the regular season in college football.
Yep.
Often you don't have a dog in the fight of the championship games. Every once in a while, like this year for Iowa State.
Right.
2015 for Iowa, you do. But for the most part, the regular season has ended. We're kind of looking ahead to bowl season, and it's a good time for those guys to kind of take a break, get out of town before, you know, the holidays and bowls and all that come. This is a strange year for a lot of reasons. Obviously, we're right in the middle of football season. Towards the end, I guess, but still happening.
There's still a couple of games for games. Everybody, yeah.
Yes. And then these guys can't really go on the vacations that they had originally planned. And so they're palling about. I don't know exactly where either of them are right now. Andy was in yesterday. I didn't expect him to be here, but he was, so that was great. And Keith will be back tomorrow and in for a good portion of the rest of the week. So we're going to kind of – I will be here every day.
Like the workhorse you are.
I'm the constant, yes.
Yeah, let's go ahead and just start with Top of Mind, powered by BMW of Des Moines. And I guess the real thing that we need to talk about here is that the college football playoff rankings, which we will talk about at length here today, they're coming out tonight. And that's, if you're an Iowa State fan especially, you're going to be interested to see exactly how that shakes out going into what is your final regular season game against West Virginia. But also, the NFL continues to have these weird scheduling snafus, and I guess at least right now, it sounds like we're going to have some Wednesday football, and not Wednesday night football, Wednesday afternoon football. And no, it is not Maction. I know Maction is very popular around these parts, but it is going to be the NFL, including the best team in the NFL record-wise, and that's the Pittsburgh Steelers. They are taking on the Baltimore Ravens tomorrow. The scheduled start time is 2:40 p.m., and I guess the WCI Pools and Spas quickie poll that we're going to have up on the Murph and Andy Show Twitter page is, will you try to watch some of the Steelers and Ravens tomorrow at work? Because most people will still be at work at 2:40 in the afternoon. Are you interested in watching that game? You're going to have that up on a window just to see how it goes. It's a big matchup. It's supposed to be the primetime game on Thanksgiving, but instead we're watching it on a Wednesday afternoon. And none other than the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree lighting has preempted the one of the top football games, I suppose, of the NFL season to this point. The Ravens, in desperation, desperately needing a win, as they have fallen out of the playoff picture right now, at least for the time being in the AFC. And the Pittsburgh Steelers are, of course, at the top of the AFC. So this is a big game, and they're kicking off at 2:40. So just go to the Murph and Andy Show at Murph_Andy, and you can vote on our WCI Pools and Spas quickie poll. Will you try to watch some of the Steelers and Ravens tomorrow at work? Yes or no? I guess the first topic that we need to touch on here is Iowa State football, certainly. And that's the college football playoff rankings tonight, and where you expect the Cyclones to fall. The first week of the college football playoff rankings, you sat and you were wondering, and I think most Cyclone fans probably pleasantly surprised at how high they sat at number 13 out of the gates in the college football playoff rankings, but then they saw Oklahoma a couple of spots higher, and, you know, that never rubs people the right way, right? Well, we beat them. We have the same amount of loss and we beat them, and we're behind them? That doesn't make any sense. I'm guessing you've seen these two teams play. As a Cyclone fan, I'd love to be really biased about this and say there's no way Iowa State should be behind Oklahoma. But if you've watched the teams play, and you've watched how Oklahoma has beaten the teams on their schedule recently, and that includes an Oklahoma State team where Iowa State lost to. They beat Oklahoma State 41-13. And I mean, I don't know. I think you would have a hard time arguing why Iowa State's playing better football than Oklahoma is right now.
It's hard because it's the eye test part of it, right?
And of course.
And it's easy to look at Oklahoma and the way they're playing right now and say, well, yeah, that's the best team in the Big 12. But then you look at the resumes. I wonder how much the win over Texas, because Oklahoma, that was kind of one of the chips that Oklahoma had that Iowa State didn't yet have when you're comparing these two resumes. I wonder how much that win Friday afternoon for Iowa State will affect things, if at all. It didn't the AP poll. And I guess I don't know where Oklahoma was a week ago in the AP poll, but as we sit today, Iowa State's the top-ranked Big 12 team in the country.
Yeah, Iowa State's 12th in the latest AP poll. Oklahoma is 13th, right behind them. Oklahoma was 14th last week, and Iowa State was 15th.
So they did, so for the AP,
they jumped them.
That was enough. That was a jump because
Oklahoma didn't play. Their game against West Virginia was postponed until the week after this week.
And Iowa State's loss to Louisiana, well, not good by any means. Is a loss to a ranked team, and certainly looks better than Oklahoma's loss to Kansas State.
It is right definitely now. Better. Because Louisiana's only loss is to an unbeaten team right now, who's literally right behind Oklahoma at number 14 in the AP poll, and that's Coastal Carolina. And they lost by a field goal to unbeaten Coastal Carolina. And they're ranked 20th in the AP poll right now. They were not
think,
in
though, like, it just
the Chicago
feels,
playoff rankings.
It just feels like it's a weird season. It feels like that Louisiana loss is worse, just on the surface, because of, you know, decades of conditioning of thinking a team like that can't hang with Power 5 teams, and any loss to a Power 5 team is a better loss than a loss to
And that was a 17-point loss, right?
At home, there's a pretty convincing loss.
And Louisiana, as good as they are still a Group of 5 school. And we know how Group of 5 schools are routinely disrespected in not just resume building, but also in the way that they are ranked in the college football playoff rankings. And you're going to be hearing a lot from Cincinnati people and Cincinnati fans as to what the heck do we need to do to try to crack into this top four.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to prognosticate here as to what the committee might think, because the committee has not favored a ton of movement in these polls since the college football playoff rankings began.
No.
Northwestern lost.
They're going to free fall.
They were eighth. They lost to a team in which you couldn't imagine them losing to and staying where they were, right? Michigan State Spartans team that has looked really bad outside of their one win against. I mean, Iowa made them look like chumps. Rutgers made them look like chumps.
Yes.
And that same school was able to beat Northwestern, who was undefeated previously. Northwestern's out of it.
Yeah, they'll fall, I mean, to like 20th. They're going to really, really
And they'll
drop.
Still be in the Big Ten championship game, the way that it's looking, as long as they can play one more game.
Actually, they don't even need to. They've hit the six.
Okay, so yeah, they're fine.
So they're in. They essentially clinched the Big Ten West with Minnesota canceling that game yesterday.
Okay, so, but so they'll get a chance to still factor into the mix, but they're not going to be in a top four scenario, even if they beat Ohio State.
No. Nope.
Assuming Ohio State can play.
Which may not happen.
Yeah, in the Big Ten Championship.
Could be an Iowa-Ohio State 2-versus-2 matchup on the 19th.
Indiana could be a team that gets it's crazy stuff, right? You're looking at the rest of it. Alabama, they're going to be number one. Notre Dame's going to be number two. Clemson's going to be number three. The only way that one of those two teams, like if Clemson and Notre Dame will play each other in the ACC Championship game, what if Notre Dame beats Clemson a second time? Clemson has to be out of the top four.
Has to.
You would think.
Has
with two
to.
Losses.
If you have Trevor Lawrence and you lose that game, you're out. I think the only reason they're third is because they didn't have Trevor Lawrence in that game.
Well, and Notre Dame is still number two. Your loss is to a team that's also in the top four.
Yeah.
And then Ohio State, assuming they can play, and we'll talk about this later as well. Ohio State, having played only four games right now, is currently sitting number four. And they would have to, obviously, I think, lose. And even if they don't play a Big Ten championship, you could make the argument that they deserve to be in the top four. It's not entirely of their ilk, their fault, that they have lost the opportunity to play X number of games. And how much do you decide to penalize them? Texas A&M sits fifth. Texas A&M's only loss is a big loss, but it was to Alabama, and that was early in the season, and they have certainly looked better and better as the season has gone on, although they did have a couple of postponements. They still have Auburn and Tennessee to finish out the season. Florida has looked very good. They probably have, I think, the Heisman Trophy winner in the clubhouse right now in Kyle Trask. Florida's loss is to Texas A&M, who's one spot higher than them, and that was by a field goal. Those two teams are about as even as it gets. And then it's unbeaten Cincinnati. Cincinnati still, you would think, has to find a way to improve their resume, I guess. And how do you improve your resume? You beat Tulsa. So is that enough for you? That's, if you're a Cincinnati hater, if they beat 25th-ranked Tulsa, that they might be able to leapfrog Florida or Texas?
No way, right?
No.
No.
So, if that's the case, then you need A&M to lose, or Florida to lose, or both of them to lose. Florida would play Alabama in the SEC championship game. And then you got to hope that Notre Dame beats Clemson again, because that would pull Clemson out of the mix.
Yeah, because if Clemson beats Notre Dame, especially in a good, they could certainly both be in.
How do you know? You have to keep both in. The way that they're stacked right now, you just have to keep both in. And then the question becomes Ohio State, if they play seven games.
Yeah, what does that look like?
Is undefeated Ohio State at 7-0 and technically Big Ten champions, is that enough to play college football playoff semifinals?
I think that's enough. I think
so too.
I think less than that, you start to really have questions. I think if they're unable to play for a Big Ten championship, I think that's worrisome. Now, I do think there's a chance that the second place team in the West is ranked higher than Northwestern. I think Northwestern could certainly lose one more game. They won't play this weekend. They could lose their final game, still win the West, and be behind either Iowa or Wisconsin in the rankings.
Yeah, well, yeesh.
So maybe it's a better win for Ohio State to beat an Iowa team that's won six in a row, or a Wisconsin team that has looked good at times, than it would be to beat a Northwestern team that's kind of limping into the Big Ten championship.
Well, Wisconsin's ineligible to play in the Big Ten championship game also, although Northwestern beat them. Texas A&M has Auburn and Tennessee to wrap up the season, both on the road. Auburn ranked technically and back into the top 25. Texas A&M is in that spot, having lost Alabama, that they would not play in the SEC championship game. If Clemson gets beat a second time by Notre Dame and falls out of the top four, and that fifth spot's open, and Florida loses a second game, Florida lost to A&M, and then would lose to Alabama in the SEC title game, does Texas A&M, who did not play in an SEC championship game, get elevated into that fourth spot ahead of an unbeaten conference champion, Cincinnati, who would have beaten three ranked teams in their conference?
Yes.
Is that messed up to you?
A little bit, yeah, for sure. I think in the four-team playoff, until we expand beyond four, I'm not sure you're ever going to have a group of five team make this.
And they're going to find every possible way to make sure it doesn't happen.
Because, I mean, you could even make the case that if Oklahoma runs the table, if they beat Iowa State, especially if they do so convincingly in the Big 12 championship, that they've avenged that loss, that they're playing as good as anybody in the country.
Even with two losses.
Even with two losses, they have a better resume or are more worthy than an unbeaten Cincinnati team. I think that's an argument that could be made.
And that still doesn't sit well with me. Because we need the four best teams. But what about the four most deserving teams? Those are two completely different things.
They are.
And in college football, you don't play enough games, and you don't have the ability to have like a 64-team bracket. So my question is, and again, it's this stupid bowl system that we keep clinging on to as our excuse. Every other level of college football has a 16 or 24 team playoff. FCS, Division II, Division III, NAIA. You could go on down to high school football. Here in the state of Iowa, we have a 16 team playoff in every single one of our classes in a usual year. We even had a bigger one this year. Georgia has two losses. They lost to Alabama. They lost to Florida. Those are two of the top six teams in the entire country. They will defeat Vanderbilt unless some lightning strikes their bus on the way to the game coming up this weekend to wrap up their season. That team likely would get more look. The whole thing would have to completely fall apart for Georgia even getting in that position. But they would get a better look than Cincinnati would. And yeah, Coastal Carolina hasn't played much of anybody. Their game day is actually at their home stadium this weekend as they play one-loss Liberty, who's not ranked. And then I read this stupid article that said there's a really good chance, and it was based on facts, that Liberty doesn't even get invited to a bowl game because everybody's bowl eligible and nobody wants to take on Liberty, who, you know, could be potentially 10-1.
Yeah, because you'd rather have a one-win Nebraska team and their handful of fans that would come to a game or whatever.
TV.
Just that brand, that helmet, than a Liberty team. Who the hell's Liberty?
This is
isn't that an insurance company?
This is a fundamental problem in college football. And if you're not going to include them, give them their own subdivision. I made this argument before. I'll make it again. If you're not going to allow Cincinnati and Coastal Carolina and Louisiana and Appalachian State.
UCF.
UCF. You have SMU was unbeaten for a while this year. Tulsa. You got teams like Western Michigan, who was unbeaten in a regular season in the recent history of college football. They don't even get, eighth. I mean, Cincinnati being seventh right now is quite the happening in Group of Five football. And if you're not going to let these teams try to figure it out on the field, then let them have their own little championship game, right? Like, doesn't that make sense? So I guess the moral of the story and the way this conversation started, can Iowa State leapfrog all these teams and find a way to get into the top four even with a win against Oklahoma? I just cannot see in any way, shape, or form a Big 12 champion Iowa State with losses to Oklahoma State and Louisiana jumping even to lost Georgia, whose losses are to Alabama and Florida, who will both be playing in the SEC championship game. I just can't see that happening.
I can't either. I can see an argument being made. I can see Cyclone fans being upset, and rightfully so. But I don't see the committee making that move.
Now, getting in the top 10 would be great, and then we're talking Cotton Bowl, and that'd be awesome.
Oh,
that'd
be fantastic.
You know, so
hell, even a loss, and you beat West Virginia this weekend, even a loss to Oklahoma.
You're still going to get a great spot,
exactly.
You'd think.
You're
right?
Going to feel good about where this team is.
Also, Miami and Indiana are also above Iowa State in the college football playoff rankings. You might leapfrog Indiana. Miami didn't play. You might see Iowa State flirt with 10 tonight.
You think they're ahead of Oklahoma in the playoff rankings?
No.
I think they are.
Oklahoma didn't play.
I think Iowa State's going to leapfrog them. I think just like the AP poll, they're going to be one spot ahead of Oklahoma. I think Iowa State
that would
be
exciting
the top
if you're an Iowa State fan, you would be excited about that. I'm just not sure what happened. Now, on the Iowa side of things, how far can they go without having... I saw Chris Hassel's tweet. This was hilarious. He said, Iowa is not so bad, despite the fact that they have a malfunctioning jugs machine at quarterback.
It's a little harsh.
I mean, he's not wrong.
He's not wrong. Spencer Petras has left a lot to be desired. He certainly started things rough and then hasn't progressed the way you would have liked to seen. At this point, it's hard to say. You know, coaches like to say, you know, about halfway through the season that, you know, freshmen aren't really freshmen anymore because they've played enough games. I mean, he started six games at quarterback, Spencer Petras has, and he hasn't developed the way you would like to see. I think you can explain some of it away, not excuse, but explain some of it in the tumultuous offseason that everybody had. But he's got the weapons that you would want to be a quarter, you know, to be a Big Ten quarterback. He just hasn't put it all together. He's been inconsistent, to say the least, and it's worrisome as an Iowa fan to kind of see that not only has he not progressed the way you would have liked to see, or even started out the way you would have liked to see, but it doesn't really feel like there is immediate relief to that. Alex Padilla,
I mean, what do you change? I mean, like at this point, what's going to change?
Exactly. And obviously the coaches don't see something in Alex Padilla that makes them think he is head and shoulders better and would come in and make an immediate impact. I think that while Kirk Ferentz's stubbornness is legendary, I don't think it's so ingrained that he would hinder his own team if he thought that the other quarterback was better. I say that against some evidence of that happening in the past, but they obviously don't think Alex Padilla is the guy right now. And Deuce Hogan, who everybody likes, all Iowa fans like because of the name and the social media presence and the you know, high-ranking recruit. He's been on campus for weeks, essentially. It's just in a season like this, in an off-season like the one everybody had, you don't start a freshman at quarterback unless you absolutely have to. And Iowa didn't absolutely have to. And they've been winning games.
I mean,
they've won four in a row, and it hasn't been against great competition.
I was going to say,
it's been against
it's Big Ten competition.
But exactly, it's who they're playing, it's who they're lined up against, and it's against some pretty perennially great programs.
Would you rather play Cincinnati or would you rather play Minnesota?
I think Minnesota's probably a worse team, but it's my bias comes out.
Everybody, like, we've been ingrained
to think. If
you're
not a Power 5 team,
correct.
I think less of you.
No matter what.
Yes.
And that's what we've been led to believe, whether that's true or not. Central Florida, a few years ago, they could have beaten anybody. Who knows?
I think for a long time it was true. I think what we're starting to see in college football is something that I know you're going to want to talk about here in the next segment with college basketball, where at some point the proliferation of talent becomes so spread that teams like Cincinnati, teams like Louisville, teams like Coastal Carolina, Louisiana, not Louisville. I always do that. Louisville and Louisiana.
Well, Louisville's technically still a group of five team.
But
to some people,
there's going to be enough talent that will be compiled by some of those rosters that they will be able to compete in Power 5 leagues and with those teams and maybe for a national championship.
Marshall's undefeated, too. Haven't even mentioned them. You know,
we've seen in college basketball, there's enough good players that smaller teams can field really, really good teams. We're starting to see that more in college football. But again, I think until they expand to eight, those teams are never going to get the...
Even if they did that, though.
They're not even going to get a sniff.
You're going to hear a lot of people saying if you guarantee a spot in... if you expand to eight, Cincinnati certainly deserves a spot. But if, let's say, instead of having three undefeated Group of Five schools like we have right now, Cincinnati, Coastal Carolina, and Marshall, if we had a couple two-loss teams, well, those teams probably don't deserve a spot in... But at the same time, this was the perfect year to kind of mess around with that because these schools didn't have to play three non-conference games against mostly bigger opponents.
The fact that they didn't expand this year of all years where they needed the money, they could have used the television revenue, where we don't know what the bowl system is going to look like, where college football really could have made some hay and made an impact by expanding this playoff in a year where all playoffs seem to be expanding. The fact that they didn't do it this year leads me to believe they really have no intention of doing this anytime soon, which is disappointing.
It makes me mad.
Like, I can tell.
I mean,
you're a small school guy. That's like your...
I love the underdog.
You kind of wear that mantle.
They exist for a reason, and they don't exist just to be bottom feeders.
I was going to say, they exist to get beat by Power 5 teams
and get paid $1.5 million to go do that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
No, that's dumb. You know, like to me, college football has been broken since the beginning. If you go back and read about the history of the way that things got started in 1869 and eventually in the 1880s and into the forward pass and just the way that it was just the Wild West and scheduling and everything, and you know who was crowned national champions? Well, it was whoever Walter Camp thought was the national champion. And for like 40 years, that's how the national champion was decided. Walter Camp was just like, well, it's got to be this team. And then they were.
Yeah.
And then after that, the AP poll made decisions. Various publications were coming up with their own national champion. And every school, if it was different schools, would claim that national title. The bowl system tried to match up one versus two or one versus four. And you know, this is going to be. And then how are you supposed to tell? At least this is it resembles figuring it out on the field.
It's better than what we've had in the past.
No, but we're still
not doing it.
We're not there yet. Why is the committee making this decision? Look, the reason the BCS was a mess is because only two teams could get in a championship game. But the idea of having a non-biased number, like a calculation, an algorithm.
Yeah, an RPI type.
An equation. Yeah. Having that wasn't the problem. The issue was you only had two spots to put the teams for a national title. So the real question becomes, why can't we just go back to that non-biased number to figure out who's good, who's not so good, and then expand to eight or maybe even, God forbid, 16 teams like everybody else in college football from top to bottom and figure this thing out legitimately on the field instead of having to make room for the Poinsettia Bowl or the Las Vegas Bowl. Or the Celebration Bowl, and I don't hate these bowl games. I don't hate the St. Petersburg Bowl, right? Like I'll watch it, but you're going to tell me that those somehow are so important we can't have a 16-team playoff? There's something fundamentally wrong with that. So, I don't know. It's something that I harp on about this time every single year. And like you said, if they didn't find a way to expand it just a little bit to 8 teams this year, there's no way that they're ever going to think about this in the next 5 years. Maybe not even the next 10 years.
Yeah, I think it'll happen at some point. I'm not holding my breath. It'll be anytime soon.
Is ESPN the one blocking this by owning all these bowl games? Because they want these bowl games to be sponsored and all that stuff, and the bowl games become even more irrelevant the more playoff things go on.
Yeah, but the bowl games are so irrelevant already.
Well, so is the NIT, right? But the NIT still gets to exist.
Exactly. Like, the bowl system will always exist. Iowa fans, Iowa State fans will always flock to Orlando in late December, early January.
Why can't we just have sponsors for these playoff games?
Right.
Like, what's stopping us from doing that?
There's nothing. Stubbornness.
What? Why aren't we in charge of this? Like, I feel like we could have figured this thing out a long time ago. Either way, we do need to take our first break of the show, and when we come back, we'll have the play of the day and also talk about college basketball, because that is going to be a pet project of mine, just absolutely geeking out on mid-major and low-major basketball this year. We'll talk about that along with how that fits in with Iowa and Iowa State's hopes for this year. Coming up next, it's Emery Songer and AD sitting in for Murph and Andy right here on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, and now on
Twitter.com.
Everyone knows that Fairway has the best hand-cut meats, fresh produce, and more. But did you also know that you can save every week at Fairway just by signing up for the weekly ad from your neighborhood store? Go to Fairway.com and discover great savings and
get your podcast.
It's time for Murph and Andy's play of the day.
That goes Wentz one more time. He is firing it high and into the end zone, and it is batted around and caught for a touchdown by Dallas Goedert. A Hail Mary with 12 seconds left. Richard Rodgers.
On 1460 AM and 106.3 FM. This is KXNO.
So, Emery, that play didn't result in a bad beat for bettors last night, but the very next play did, the two-point conversion. The Eagles were 6.5-point underdogs. They were losing by, 14?
Yeah, it was 8 after the touchdown.
It was 8 after the touchdown, made the two-point conversion, lost by 6. That's called a backdoor cover, and nobody likes to see that.
I'm sure there are some people that like to see that.
Yeah, you're right. Are you a gambler?
You know, I kind of am. You know, I don't talk about it all the time because, I don't pretend like I am this crazy good prognosticator. I really pick my spots, and I'm much more a horse player than I am a sports game, because it's designed for you to go 50-50, right? And when you start getting really gutsy and trying to make a ton of money with like 2, 3, 4 team parlays, that's when you really lose your money.
Yes.
Because nobody ever wins those, right? So, like, that's when you share it on social media. Oh, look what I won. It's only the 18th different 14 parlay I tried this week, you know? But that's part of the game. So, no, not really. I feel like I don't want to be cheering for or against something like that. But
yeah, that's the hard part for me, exactly.
It's just like, I kind of like just enjoying the game as it's presented, but Doug Peterson, like, why wouldn't he go for 2 there?
Yeah.
Unless he also didn't, like, had money the wrong direction, and he's like, you know, we're just going to trot the field goal unit back out here. The fact that Carson Wentz completed a pass, I feel like is one of the more remarkable things about that play. He's awful. What happened to that guy?
That's a really good question.
You know, one of my favorite guys to listen to is Dan Orlovsky these days, the ESPN pundit, and he's so smart, man. He, like, everybody gives him stuff for having a pretty lackluster backup quarterback-style career and was one of the starting quarterbacks for the Lions when they went 0-16, but he's so smart. And he says the scheme is not good. It's not allowing Wentz to be successful, and his wide receivers have been just dog poo all season long. Like, they're not never on the same page. They, like, Wentz is trying to throw them open. They just don't get it, and they've been dropping balls and everything. But at the same time, I was watching that game a little bit last night. I was like, man, this guy can't throw accurately. Like, yes, he's not on the same page, but at what point is it his fault, too, that they're not on the same page? I don't know. That team, hard to believe, just, like, less than 3 years ago, they were winning a Super Bowl.
I was just thinking that. Like, did that happen? He wasn't
the quarterback
when
that happened.
Foles was quarterback?
Now, see, that's a different...
They beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl?
And Foles was the MVP of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And they scored 41 points on the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Brady had like maybe his best Super Bowl and lost.
And Doug Peterson was the coach, and he was calling that game. There's something with Foles in Philly, because whenever he's been out of Philly, he's been nothing, and he's been incredible when he's been in Philadelphia. He had two different stints there and was record-breaking both times. Carson Wentz, I don't think, is it, but I guess we'll have to see. I don't think Jalen Hurts is going to be it either. Either way, I did want to talk about college basketball here. You're a big college hoops fan.
I am.
You like the college hoops.
I do. I do a lot. I don't know if it's my favorite sport. It's hard to say that when college football is still happening, but I would rather sit down and watch a college basketball game that I don't have an emotional interest in
than
a college football game. Yeah, I'd rather watch, you know, Duke play Michigan State than watch Alabama Auburn.
Yeah, it kind of depends for me. I go through years where I just don't care about that, the college basketball. And a lot of the reason I don't care about it is because it's so overwhelming. I love, like you mentioned, you got me right there. I love the smaller schools. I really enjoy trying to pick out those mid-majors that might stand out. I like picking out those teams that are under the radar that might have a shot at an at-large bid later. And if you start trying to figure that out in February, you're behind the eight ball a little bit. Because now, yeah, it's kind of figured out a little bit, but you've missed all of that sorting itself out. So I decided I'm going to dedicate myself a lot here when this abbreviated non-conference slate to try to figure out those teams. And I started watching games, and I'm like, man, I forgot how much I love this. I forgot how much fun it is on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday to just sit and watch a doubleheader worth of college hoops and flip through the various channels. FS1, FS2's got games on. ESPNU's got games on. ESPN's got games on. Big schools, small schools.
Yeah, this game's happening right now.
I'm watching multiple Texas in Indiana.
Yeah,
you know?
BYU is playing USC right now.
I mean, like, how fun is that? I forgot how much fun it was to just, wow, there's some college hoops on tonight.
And part of that's probably because we missed the most fun part of the year.
Right.
Which is, like, I like conference tournaments maybe as much as I like the NCAA tournament.
Because those are
obviously
fun, yeah.
The NCAA tournament becomes a thing. But, like, that midweek, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of those conference tournaments.
Happening all day.
Yeah. Games happening constantly, and they're conference rivals, they're battles, a lot of them are close games.
And a lot of
down.
Them for, you know, we are not getting an at-large bid. We are,
yes,
if we lose this game, we are done.
Or, you know, like teams like Iowa several times has been kind of on the bubble, and it's like, well, if you go and you win two games in Indianapolis, then you're probably in, but if you don't, you're probably not. And there's just so much to be played for in those games. I love it.
So have you watched a bunch yet? Or
not
is it,
yet.
Is it still too close?
It's still a little too soon. Yeah, I've obviously watched Iowa. I watched a little bit of Iowa State on Sunday. I will get more and more into those as the games ramp up here. But no, it's still, my mind is still in college football mode.
We'll talk about Iowa men's basketball later on in the show because they're obviously going to be the story. Northern Iowa's off to a really bad start, but once they start figuring out, they have the roster
to
be, I think, the clear-cut favorite in the Missouri Valley Conference, which, again, shaping up to be an easy one-bid league. There's not going to be a whole lot of debate on that, I don't think, unless something crazy happens. And that's no disrespect to our friends at Drake. But
they had a good week.
They're not.
2-0.
They're not.
I think Drake is a better team than most people probably think they are.
They're probably top five in the MVC.
Exactly.
You know,
I think
but they just have a hard
slot in that second half.
Have a hard time winning on the road. Yeah. And if there's no fans, maybe that'll change that a little bit. But they're really good in the NAB Center. They're not so great outside the NAB Center.
Well, the MVC is doing a weird
schedule,
back-to-backs in the same place. And so that could really throw things off. And for a team like you and I, who it seems over the last few years they've needed to kind of get rolling, and then once they do, they kind of assert themselves. You wonder if it takes too long to get rolling in a season like this.
Don't have a lot of non-conference time to figure it out.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. You could have trouble making up that ground.
I still have a lot of faith in Ben Jacobson and AJ Green, who was the MVC player of the year, and he should be the favorite to do that again. And they seem to have a deeper roster this year. That's a good team. And I'm not knocking on that conference too awful much, but it doesn't take a whole lot for Northern Iowa to do what they did last year and be the clear-cut best team, even though they lost in the conference tournament to Drake. But there are a couple of under-the-radar teams that I've already been, like, checking out. On the Saturday morning pregame, I was trying to find audio of this because, you know, I host with Sean Roberts on Saturdays. And I was like, Sean, I'm way into college basketball. He's like, I haven't checked it out yet. I was obviously, and I've seen what Drake has done. And I was just like, I couldn't find good audio of me saying this, but I was all about Richmond, and I even put it on my Twitter account on Saturday. It's just like, yeah, this is, you know, I've been going through some anxiety this year, and my therapist tells me one of the cool things about my brain is that when I get obsessive about something and I have something to occupy, like my thoughts as a hobby, like I'm so much happier. Like it just, it fills that gap. So it's like, this is how I'm going to fill that gap. And I did some reading. I did some watching of some of the film from last year through YouTube. And one team that I saw a lot was the Dayton Flyers from last year in the Atlantic 10, because Obi Toppin was incredible and he ended up winning player of the year, to much to the chagrin of Iowa Hawkeye fans. But one of the teams that they played was the Richmond Spiders, who scared them a couple of times, and they brought everybody back. And their backcourt is so fast and so good at shooting the ball, and they're fun to watch. And they weren't ranked until now, but they just beat Kentucky on Sunday. And I heard this, I watched it. It was a celebratory moment for me.
Boston misses a corner three. Burton down with the rebound, and that is going to do it. What a nice win for the Richmond Spiders. They come into Lexington, and they beat the youthful Cats 76-64.
How about that? Dan Shulman on the call there, by the way. If you're looking at what Richmond's got up next, first of all, they're ranked 19th. But I'm telling you, this is a fun team to watch. They're going to play Furman, who's another team that I actually really like as well, out of the Southern Conference. They have four returning starters. I think that's going to be a fun one. That's on Saturday. Next week, they play Northern Iowa. The Spiders play the Panthers. That's on the 9th, a 5 p.m. start time as well. If you and I doesn't get it rolling real quick, I mean, they're going to run into another buzzsaw, because this team's better than Northern Iowa or anybody else in the Missouri Valley, for as far as I'm concerned. I don't know if you've been able to see any of these teams play, but that, and then they play a good West Virginia team after that. So Richmond's got some teams lined up and stacked up against them before they get into Atlantic 10 ball. This is a team you got to watch out for, Andrew Downs.
Do you think this is an obsession that's going to carry you through the entire season? And, and not just with Richmond, but like, can you see yourself in February, you know, combing over the standings of the
Summit League?
Yeah, exactly.
It's really going to be hot right now because it's all the non-conference stuff. It's really,
you can find these games easily. They're on TV.
And it's easier to kind of like manage it because it's just like, okay, so if Kansas State is playing really badly against Kansas City, what does that mean for Kansas State?
Right.
Easy to figure that out based on like where you think these teams will land in their conferences. For Richmond, yeah, I think they're going to be on TV an awful lot because they're going to keep climbing these rankings. But I bet when they get into the conference season, I'm going to kind of dismiss a lot of the lower majors
because
you can kind of pick out the one or two teams that are going to stand out there, and they're one-bid leagues anyway. Yeah. It really doesn't matter until we get to conference tournament time. Some of these mid-major conferences, like the West Coast Conference with Gonzaga in it, like the Atlantic 10, even some conferences that have good middle-of-the-road to lower-road teams, like the Big East. So I watched St. John's last night. That's a fun team. That's an exciting team to watch. And I don't know if they're going to be a bubble team, and they're probably not going to be very consistent, but they could totally mess up the way that the standings of that and some of the at-large bids. So my obsession with mid-majors isn't going to fully go away. I won't be able to watch them nearly as easily, though, like you said. And then the Mountain West is going to be on, like, they have a deal with CBS Sports Network, and I'll watch a ton of those games because, remember these teams, San Diego State, Utah State, and Boise State, all three of those teams, I think, are going to just battle it out. You know, we talk about, like, the Big Ten in basketball, and you just kind of, you have circled on your calendar when Iowa's going to play Michigan State, and when Iowa's going to play Wisconsin, and Iowa's going to play Illinois, and so many things within the standings are going to figure out with those huge matchups. Well, that's what the Mountain West Conference is, except it's so top-heavy with those three teams. Those three teams, I think, all have a chance to get into the tournament. The issue would be if one of those teams ends up beating the other two, four times, that might make it a one-bid league. But if you like college basketball, I'm just trying to give you alternative viewing options. Richmond, Boise State, San Diego State, Utah State, Furman as a mid-major. And then if you're looking for a high-major team that I like besides St. John's, the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. Because remember watching those games at the Rack last year?
Yeah, man.
That was a crazy atmosphere.
That was a good team.
And now I know they're not going to be having the crazy atmosphere like they did, but that's still a team that returned basically the biggest chunk of their roster possible. And, I mean, I'm looking at the roster right now. Ron Harper Jr., first of all, is just a do-it-all guy.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's fantastic.
He's going to be one of the first 10 guys on all Big Ten teams this year. But you only lost a couple of dudes, and nobody who was scoring in double figures from last year. That's going to be a fun team, and they should have been in the tournament last year. They're definitely going to be in the tournament this year, barring some gigantic collapse, because the Big Ten is so good.
That's the thing. You have so many opportunities, and in college basketball, you know, teams win games that against teams maybe they shouldn't. I mean, just looking at Rutgers' schedule from last year, they beat number 9 Maryland, you know, right, just the second to last game. That was a good team. They were a 21 team, and you wonder, though, how much, you know, no atmosphere hurts a place like that.
They only lost one game there last year, and that has almost everything to do with it, you figure. So a lot of that home court advantage.
That will be fun. It'll be fun. Yeah. In the Big Ten, you're going to have so many opportunities to play so many good teams, so few opportunities to have bad losses. And, you know, you beat Illinois, Iowa, and Wisconsin once each, or, you know, you win two of those games. All of a sudden, you've got this resume built that, I mean, the Big Ten could get 9 teams in the tournament this year.
I was trying to do my own preseason bracketology before any of the games started. I had 11. I might have overshot a little bit.
Probably not ridiculous.
I mean, I had 11, though. It'll be interesting to see, though. It'll be fun, and I think the Big Ten certainly is the deepest conference in college basketball. When we come back, Throwdown's up next. Emery and AD sitting in for Murph and Andy right here on 1460 KXNO.
Down Des Moines.
It's time for Throwdowns. Powered by Heartland Tire and Auto Center.
Emery, let's throw it down. It's you versus me. Ohio State is hoping to play 2 more games, but if they don't, they'll likely still be an undefeated team heading into Champions Week, where they'll play a top 20 team in Iowa or Wisconsin. In that scenario, is a 6-0 Ohio State team that doesn't play for a Big Ten championship worthy of a college football playoff berth?
Yes, and it's because how much can you penalize Ohio State for not playing all the games on their schedule? Nobody is. It's not their fault the Big Ten is completely inept. Is this team done what they can do to prove that they deserve one of the 4 spots because we're doing the best team, the 4 best teams? Absolutely. If they don't lose a game, unless they just stopped playing right now, they should be in.
I would agree with that. It's hard because we didn't get a chance, most of us didn't get a chance to see these conferences play each other or play other, you know, likewise opponents. And so we didn't get this gauge early in the season of which conference was better. So you see the Big Ten right now, it's like, well, there's not very many good teams in the Big Ten. So winning a bunch of games in the Big Ten, particularly this year in the Big Ten East, isn't all that impressive. But you're still a very good team that's winning the games in front of you. This last week at the Illinois game, I mean, that's Ohio State's fault that got canceled. And I don't know what they did to allow COVID to enter their program like that. But it's obviously been a thing. I don't think they're going to get in two more games. I think they'll probably get one more. But I see Michigan State or Michigan needing to cancel one of these games. And so it's going to be really interesting to see what the committee does with this, especially if they were to lose both of these games.
Cincinnati, lose, but put them in there.
Drop both these games. Is a 5-0 Ohio State team worthy?
It's tough to quantify. I just don't know how you penalize them for that.
Yeah. All right, Emery, your team, the Chicago White Sox, made an interesting hire, Tony La Russa. Now, on one hand, he's a Hall of Fame manager with 3 World Series to his name. On the other hand, the Sox were a young, boisterous team, and La Russa is 76, and he's been outspokenly against bat flipping and player protesting, things like that. Did the White Sox make a good hire in Tony La Russa?
Knee-jerk reaction is to say no, because you wanted the A.J. Hinch or Alex Cora splash. But are the White Sox going to be worse because of this? I don't think so. And he has come out in the last 6 months and said that he has really learned a lot, and he's not the same guy he was in 2011, where he was, you know, really against all of that stuff. His eyes have been opened. I heard Jose Abreu after he won the MVP, because yes, the White Sox have the most valuable player in the American League, and he said, yes, I've talked to him. We've gotten things, you know, talked out through and through with the leadership of the team. And I tend to trust the fact that the guy is a Hall of Famer, one of the best managers who ever was in a dugout. So I think that on the surface right now, it probably looks a little weird, especially after the DUI thing, which obviously doesn't affect his ability to manage. But at the same time, it's like, you know.
Weird look, bad look.
Weird look. But we're not going to be worse with him in the clubhouse. We're just not.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I don't hate the idea of taking a young team and giving them an old manager, an established guy. I think if you bring in a young, maybe first-time manager, or you know, a guy who kind of lets things fly a little more,
you could ruin your window of losing that.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Totally ruin your window.
So I agree with you. We mentioned this a little bit here, Emery, but college basketball has begun. It is still a college football season for most people. At what point do you flip the calendar and consider it basketball season?
Well, I think it's when conference play starts, because that's usually about the same time for everybody. This year being a little bit differently, I've already flipped the calendar. I'm really excited about the end of college football season, but during the week I'm watching a ton of college basketball, like I've said. So this year, right now, most years, conference play has to start around the country, and then I'm really kind of tuning in.
It is a weird year. And there's going to be a lot of conference games in December,
yeah,
not just the Big Ten this season. And the NBA not starting, I think, is affecting things for me.
December 22nd, right,
yeah,
for them?
So really, for me, until the NBA is going and conference seasons are happening, hopefully both of those things actually happen.
Yeah.
That's when it will feel like basketball season. I don't need football to be over. I think it's basketball season when the NFL playoffs are happening.
Okay.
But I don't think it'll happen until the NBA returns and we have some real conference games in college basketball. That is Throwdowns. The poll's up on Twitter, @Murph_Andy. Who won Throwdowns? Was it me or was it Emery? You can go vote right now.
We agreed too much.
We did.
I think we both can claim victory no matter who gets the most votes.
Yeah, you say that as a guy who sounds like he's not going to get the votes.
Well, I mean, I'm just calling it like I see it. Whole another hour on the show coming up. Trending Iowa up next. For Murph and Andy, it's Emery Songer and AD right here on 1460 KXNO and now on 106.3 FM.